This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show. My name is Max.
My name is Travis.
100.
That's right. 100 episodes of Lucha Underground, and maybe 60 episodes of Lucha Afterground?
I think so.
Something like that.
How many were in season one?
Season one of...
36?
I don't know. We didn't do any for season one.
We didn't do season one, but yeah, that's what you do. You just do a little
season
bit of
two.
Math. Yeah.
Season two was like 30.
I think we've probably done, yeah, something
60.
Something 60. That sounds about right.
Mid
60s. 65.
So welcome to the 66th episode of Lucha Afterground.
Yeah.
Trav.
What?
News and notes.
News and notes. Sexy Star retired again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, so silly.
That's that.
What a dumb thing to have happened.
Yep. Dumb.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's not good for anybody.
Exactly.
But, of course, the big news involving Lucha Underground talent is Melissa Santos is pregnant with right. Brian Cage's baby. It's pretty crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Remember when they had that Instagram thing where she kind of tore a strip off of
You broke my heart.
Yes. Yeah. And now, father of her child.
Good.
Yep.
Good. It was a blip. Something you need to get over.
Sure.
Made their relationship stronger.
Yeah, they always seem happy. I mean, on social media, everybody seems happy, but...
Fair. Fair. Anything else going on? I'm wrecking my brain. Oh, there's been a lot of rumors that Sami Callihan, Jeremiah Crane, is going to end up in New Japan.
Oh, I had heard that. Like, possibly being... Tagging with...
No. Just being introduced as a singles competitor.
Hmm.
I personally didn't buy it. I think up until today, I was like, no, all of you American indie wrestling marks are giving New Japan Pro Wrestling way too much credit. They don't know every little nuance of Sami Callihan's career. They didn't put together this like Citizen Kane dense like vignette, teaser vignette with all these little clues that point to Sami Callihan. No way. And then Meltzer, I guess in the Observer today, they were like, yeah, it's confirmed he's debuting in a month.
I don't know.
I'm still not totally convinced, man. But
could
also
be pretty
the
good, though. Could be pretty great.
Yeah.
He hits pretty hard.
He works stiff.
Yeah.
It's for sure. Yeah, and then, of course, there's also rumors that Jeff Cobb, who plays Matanza...
Mm-hmm. It was just here in
Vancouver.
Vancouver, worked a show on Saturday.
He'll be teaming up with Matt Riddle.
Yeah,
for the New Japan Tag League, which would be amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see. It's all just still rumor.
Yeah.
It's all still rumor. We'll see. It's been a... I guess the... it got me thinking, though, with the Sami Callihan thing, that the last big... it's been a while since New Japan... like really elevated a new Japanese talent, but then I guess Time Bomb Hiromu, he's killing it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's my favorite stable in all of wrestling right now is
Los Ingobernables.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No doubt, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see who Naito, wrestles with. Anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the 100th episode of Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, that's right. I usually hit a button over here.
Most importantly, violence!
So technically, this is Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 35. I incorrectly said 33 last week. I apologize. You guys were all over me for that.
Nobody. A single person
didn't get a mention. Recap is just basically Dario pimping the 100th episode and all of its matches.
Mm-hmm.
And a reminder of the kind of the feud going on with Puma and Johnny Mundo and the stip involved.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the way it was framed in like the super wide screen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like just the big black bars going across the top.
Hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah,
nice little stylized thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
First segment is Worldwide Underground backstage. Jack Evans still can't talk.
And Ty is back with the video camera.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen that.
The documentarian, known documentarian, Taya. They're passing around this ID, and Max, to his credit, had called this. He knew what it was, that Ricky had changed his name to Johnny Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
This was fine.
I loved it.
Yeah.
This was probably my favorite part of the whole episode.
Yeah. What I didn't like is they basically repeated it. When they got back on the thing, right? Yeah. When they got out into the ring. I like the nice bit at the end with Ricky saying, "Yeah, it worked. Yeah, I'm now part of the World Wide Underground."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. But I didn't think maybe they should have, like, "I'll show you, I'm going to reveal what this is when we get out there." And then he could have said, "Okay, nah, you know?"
Or yeah.
Something like that. It just seems weird to have kind of repeated it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm not sure why. I don't know why they would have done that.
Because
the believers don't need to know.
No.
That makes no bearing. They do need to come up with a reason to introduce Marty the Moth.
Mm-hmm.
But they could just be like, Ricky, you're not wrestling. It's not a big deal.
It's not huge. It just seemed a little repetitive, I thought.
It really got me thinking, though, the backstage scene that the Worldwide Underground have the most... maybe other than Dario, have the most character.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dario, and then every member of the Worldwide Underground, and then maybe Cobra Moon.
Okay, well, expand on that. Elaborate on what you mean.
They have richness. Richness.
Yeah.
They have relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. It's nuanced.
Good. Yeah.
They have callbacks to things. It's like. Mm-hmm. You know what? No agent today.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Although, to be fair, Jack Evans' thing kind of seems like it's just that he can't talk.
Yes.
But still, I mean, there's so much continuity within their character that we don't see from anybody else, I don't think, really. Especially not at the frequency that we see, other than Dario.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say, and this is true as well, I think, they get more vignettes than anybody is Worldwide Underground.
Yeah, totally.
That's part of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It
seems strange. You have all these... They at times, they really feel like they're the star of the show.
Sure.
And then it's like, well...
There's nobody to latch on to kind of
as the antithesis.
So we enter. This is Slapback's last night.
Who's coming in for the
I don't
big
know.
Final
we're gonna
few
get
shows?
To the last, yeah,
Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
they'll bring them back.
Yeah. Vampiro's kind of leading again the thing. This is good. He says to start drinking because it's the end of the episode. They're celebrating.
There you go.
And they announced Puma's partners, which I thought was the first kind of letdown of the night. Is that Sexy Star, Phoenix, and Cage?
I mean,
but it doesn't make any sense with like if Puma's going down this dark path and all of a sudden he's picking the two white meat baby faces and Cage, who's like who's kind of turned into like
it did seem like it's such a strange. Mm-hmm. Assembly of fighters, but I don't know who else you would pick.
Well, we had picked our team last.
Oh,
week.
I can't even remember. Pentagon,
yeah, Vampiro, but Pentagon is already in the other match. Yeah. So there's no way it couldn't have been him.
God, that would be a sick stable. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
if they did it in Atomicos. Yeah. Those three
and
going
Conan
for,
and Conan.
Oh, bring back Conan.
Yeah, just, I mean, we'll get into
it. Oh, this would have been a perfect opportunity to bring back the Black Lotus tribe, who, by the way, we'll never see again.
That's right. Ever, never, ever.
Although,
unless they appear somewhere in the finale.
Is Black Lotus supposed to have a match? Oh, no, she had a match at the last, against Dragon Ice Tekka Jr. Mm-hmm. That was her big thing.
Mm-hmm. And then she was in that four-way, or the four against one, or the gauntlet, where...
She just comes
Pentagon
in at the end.
Had to come, yeah, and she came in the end and just broke the other arm.
Hmm.
I think it was just they were just thrown together. These four there, because each one of them moved a different plot with their thing, except for Sexy Star, like which is still just kind of. I guess she's got a match with Taya. We learned today that it's official; she has a match with Taya.
Yeah.
At Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah. Which makes the last thing that Taya did with Sexy Star was come out. and cheer for her.
Yeah. Whatever the hell that was.
What is going on here?
Yeah. This is just a little sloppy, I thought. It just and just like kind of partners of convenience, because then you got you know, Cage is there and he has to leave his thing behind, and then luckily, and then Jeremiah Crane can steal it, and that leads to other stuff. Yeah. Phoenix is out there, and then that gives him the opportunity to swap or to switch with to have Marty come in to take Ricky Mundo's place.
Yeah.
See, I already got the name changed.
Ricky Mundo.
I don't know. It was all just like a little too perfect for the stories they need to tell.
Well, we got one more episode, and then we're in Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah, but so, I mean, like the first when I first saw it, I'm like, Prince Puma is supposed to be this kind of whatever
loner dark character.
Yeah,
and then his energy was
anyways, who had a sweet
Jeremiah Crane? He could have come out. He could have had Jeremiah Crane and Cage and I don't know, Pindar.
Sure.
And then
just somebody
Son of Madness.
Dark. Yeah, sure.
Son of Madness.
Couple of yeah.
There yeah, yeah. Go. Have them all out, and then Crane can turn on Cage and steal his thing halfway through.
Yeah.
Just some alternatives.
But then they'd have to find I guess they'd have to find another spot to move the Phoenix and Marty center.
And we would have to watch Son of Madness wrestle, so that's a problem.
He's not bad. Puma had a great entrance into the ring tonight that just looked absolutely gorgeous. He like just
his actual entrance into the ring.
Yeah.
I know.
Jack Evans is look, I was noticed he's looking extra tweaked out today, like really kind of stoned and messed up. Ricky shows a new idea, as I said. Johnny Mundo tells him no one hits him out. Calls out Marty.
Wait,
to replace
say that
him.
Again? I feel like you just mumbled that whole
Sorry
thing.
Sorry about that.
When we play that back, I'm going to replay that because it sounded just completely like gibberish.
Yes.
Oh, enunciate, Trav.
Ricky shows the new ID. Johnny Mundo tells him no and sits him out of the match.
There you go.
Calls out Marty to replace him. I liked Marty the Moth wearing the Worldwide Underground bandana as like an eye mask.
Yeah, totally. And he was he had his hair up in a bun. His hair is probably getting pretty long hair versus mask match. Yep.
So we saw those really great middle fingers from Johnny Mundo to Sexy God, Star.
Johnny Mundo is just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And started with, I guess, Sexy Star and Marty. I thought it was actually okay. Cage is just on the outside just looking at his gauntlet, just eyeing it, just ogling this beautiful thing on his arm. Good stuff between, it was PJ and Phoenix. Cage had to be talked into removing the gauntlet. I thought that was a pretty good bit. But then eventually Jeremiah Crane steals the gauntlet. He's in and he's out there. And then I'm like, okay, that's why Cage was in this match. And Puma enters and just... This is like the first time it started to feel like a real match. Like it just like there's too much going on. Like there's and he weaved his magic on everybody. There's a great sequence.
He's been doing that a lot in New Japan as well. He's getting the hot tag. He'll come in in these, because you know they do all these multi-man tag matches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's gotten into the habit of being like the hot tag that comes in and figures out some creative way of just like planting every one of his opponents in a way that just like the crowd just goes bananas.
Yeah. House of Fire, man. He might be one of the best in the world right now. I shouldn't even say might be. He must be. Let me see. Double flips from Phoenix and Sexy Star to the outside. Nice double team from Johnny Mundo and PJ Black on Puma.
Yeah.
To set Johnny Mundo up for hitting the end of the world for the win. I was a bit surprised that it's just like, wow, that's it. Wow.
Well, I mean, the double team was so good.
Yeah.
All that stuff seemed brutal. It was, it just hammered. It was a decisive victory, and maybe it's been a while since Lucha Underground has given us a decisive victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it wasn't kind of like flaky or outside interference or any of that.
Totally, I loved it.
But I didn't think that it was. I didn't think they were setting up for the end. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, you hit end of the world. That's probably. I don't think has anybody ever kicked out of that. Not that I can think.
Not that I can think.
Yeah, it might be pretty protected.
But even Puma, I don't know. But it was after a double team, so that made it okay, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyways, post-match, Melissa and Marty get at it.
Oh, God.
6 to 7 hard slaps by Melissa, and she's just like, almost in tears doing this.
Mm-hmm.
After six or seven hard slaps, and it's kind of, you know, Marty's kind of liking it, and then a Phoenix super kick, so he doesn't like it, knocks him on his ass.
The whole sequence was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And then that, and we know why, that's why Marty was in that, because now we learn later that Melissa
next week
will be in a match next week.
You know how I've been saying, Trav, that whatever you do, don't go ahead and look at the titles of the episodes? The one, this was in reference to Melissa being in the ring.
Huh.
Because next week's episode is called The Rise of the Ring Announcer. And I was like, well, either she's getting in the ring, or she somehow takes over for Dario.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's taken over for Dario the week before Ultima Lucha Trace begins.
That's good.
Yeah.
So is that the only one?
That's the only one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So next is back in Katrina's room with the candles.
Is this in the temple? This must be.
I guess so. Jeremiah got there
pretty fast.
PDQ, and so did Cage.
And Dario later.
Yes. Yeah, everybody was just kind of lingering around.
They just have their own room.
Something's happening in there. I can feel it.
Yeah, totally.
Jeremiah Crane enters with the gauntlet, says he wants a kiss, but he gets a spear instead from our boy Mel Muertes. Cage enters, grabs her. This is pretty cool. Explains its power, saying, "You notice how you can't disappear right now because this thing isn't going anywhere with you." So that's pretty rad. I liked him in that role. Like, it feels like he'd be a good, good job as like a heavy in like a superhero movie or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. The dude is made for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, fighting. I don't know, Thor. This is going to test my Marvel Comics knowledge here, but wasn't for a while Hercules' brother Ares an Avenger? Brian Michael Bendis is,
yes.
Anyways, this is not important.
No.
Yeah, but he would make a good one. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Okay. Cage comes in and it turns into a three-way brawl in the candlelight.
It's going to set up some sort of no holds barred match, but it's going to have a title that has to do with candles. hot wax.
Hot wax match.
Yeah, that's right. Gosh. Just lit candles all on the outside.
Oh, man.
And you get picked up and thrown onto them. Oh, damn.
I love ideas, man.
Oh, I think so.
Anyway, Dario kind of enters and just steals the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Something doesn't make... Like, he's the one who got it into Cage's hands, basically, right? Gave him this unit and is like, was totally talking about, hey, now is our guy. But had something changed? Had something changed with him?
Well, Delgado was murdered.
And that other guy, when that other agent came in to talk to him, he talking about wanting to get the gauntlet back?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm having trouble seeing where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this before, how there were injuries and all this sort of stuff, and maybe they had to rewrite a lot of these stories in order to compensate for that, and maybe this is just one more symptom of that, if that's even really true. But yeah, it does, I hate to say it, but it does feel like sometimes Lucha Underground is getting into that sort of like terrible pattern that wrestling promotions can get into, which is like, oh, this new story, here's some interesting things that are going to happen, and then, oh no, forget it, fans. Act like it never happened.
Yes.
Act like it never happened. And that is just so, it's so disappointing because you lose your faith in their
long-term plans
in the idea that they're telling a story, that things matter. Because as soon as you get into this place where like nothing matters, I don't have to pay attention because nothing is meaningful, then you're just Raw.
Yeah.
And like, this is the whole reason why I'm not watching Raw. So I'm a little nervous.
I know. We got 5 episodes left here. One more to really kind of set everything up. We'll see.
I'm just saying, beginning of season two.
For me, it is a happy memory.
Mm-hmm. Well said, sir. Mm-hmm. Well said. I think we should take a break. I feel like we're whipping through this today.
Yeah, sure. Did you notice the very beginning? When they cut to Vamp and Stryker, they had 100th episode mugs.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, they look like pretty nice mugs. Anyways, here's a message from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacetoBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacetoBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacetoBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So,
yeah,
my choice for chief today, I think it requires a bit of, I don't know, kind of shoot storytelling, or at least using some of someone's real life issues and adding it to the character.
Oh,
and
I'm
that
intrigued.
Is the Brian Kendrick. Mm. Who has, like, you know, like, his comeback has been, like, he kicked a lot of, like, drug addiction and things like this.
Okay.
All right, and you can kind of see it, right? He looks kind of...
Sure.
Like, wired,
it's
right?
The
like
hair.
That kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, he's the new thing.
Chief.
New chief, just as they've, like, are, like, this big, big drug busts keep happening, and he's, like, just stuck in these rooms with, like, and he does have this history, of, just, like, and eventually it's just too much for him, and either he goes off the wagon, or just has to move on. It's just, like, I can't take it! You guys are busting, and then the guys are, like, making these big drug busts. He's like, God, what are you doing? And, like, he's getting mad at them. He's like, what's the matter, chief?
Yeah, it's the evidence room is overflowing with
yes,
drugs.
Yes.
They just have to, so can we store some of this in your office, chief?
One box.
Yeah.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it says here that there's 301 cases. It says here there's 300 cases, but it looks like there's 301. We'll just leave the spare in your office. Hope it doesn't go missing. We'll never find it. Something like that.
Yeah, excellent.
That's fun. This is, now we're doing an outro for this.
I like it. So we come back from the break, and right away, this is when Vampiro announces that this match is coming up, and he says, "We've got some huge, big-ass breaking news." That was pretty funny.
I actually was expecting this to be an announcement about Cage versus, like, a three-way Cage versus Mil Muertes versus Jeremiah Crane, because none of those guys have a match.
But now that you say that will probably be their match at Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah. I mean, I would... you could stick any... You still have one more episode to stick any one of those guys with anybody else, but at least two of those three will be wrestling each other, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, Crane versus Mil Muertes seems like it's mm-hmm. on the...
But it's logical if the... and maybe even Matanza.
Cage versus Matanza?
Yeah, I don't know.
For the gauntlet?
They want that stinking gauntlet. Like, all four of them have a connection to it. That would work. If you put all four of those monsters in a match, I'd be into that.
Oh, man. That would be huge.
Yep.
Could be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's neat about that gauntlet?
Hmm.
Is they take... So, Dario scurried away two things in this episode.
Yes.
One was the gauntlet.
Yes.
And the other was Rey Mysterio.
That's right.
And he stits him down. He's just like... Shunk, like sticks the gauntlet on him.
Oh, he's going to put it on Rey?
Yeah.
And like control him? I thought Dario was going to put it on and just lay a beat down on...
That would be great.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You could turn... Rey Mysterio wouldn't go heel even in Lucha Underground.
No.
Do you think?
No. Unless they had him like under the power of the gauntlet. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It's not like he's turned heel. So he's still been corrupted.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's something in there.
So they announce Melissa's first match, and it leads us to our next match for a medallion, El Dragon Azteca.
Wait. We have to talk a little bit about what we think this match is going to be like. For starters, I want to know, what is Melissa's gear going to be?
Yep. I'm pretty excited myself.
This is so gorgeous!
I'm certain it'll be gorgeous.
No. Do you think it's just going to be in one of her ballroom gowns?
No.
Because that's kind of what I've been picturing.
Yeah.
She'll just come out, because presumably she'll be announcing during this episode. So at some point she's going to have to transition over.
Maybe.
So,
I don't know. Shall see. I think she'll be used sparingly. Let's say that.
Yeah. I would put her in a mask.
Yes.
In a phoenix mask.
That'd be pretty badass.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
It'd be good.
Now we're talking. El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Pentagon Dark.
I still want to talk more about this.
Okay.
How, for somebody like Melissa at this point, do you think she's been training? Or do you think they're like, we want to stick you in a thing, so we'll come up with some things for you to do? Or do you think that she has stuff she can do?
I know that since they finished filming, she has been training, and she has done some in-ring stuff.
Really?
I don't know if they had... I mean, she's around wrestlers all the time.
That's true.
In fact, she's got a little wrestler inside her right now.
That's good. That's good.
You're just a fat piece of trash. Now somebody get this fat trash out of here.
She is pregnant.
That was terrible. I just panicked and hit that button. I don't know why. I should have picked something else.
Pretty funny. I think like enough. Like enough that they're confident to put her in this situation where she will be protected. Mm-hmm. I'm certain she'll be very protected.
Do you think she can do a missile dropkick?
Do you think she can do a corkscrew?
Maybe not a corkscrew.
No.
I don't know. I wonder if I can do a corkscrew.
No, you can't.
The thing is, I just have to... You really just have to commit. It's about the mind.
Yes.
It's not about the body, Trap.
And
it's about the mind.
And a lot of practice. A lot of practice.
I think I could get a corkscrew down in 3 hours.
On the trampoline?
Jumping off a trampoline into a foam pit or a pool.
Yeah,
sure.
A foam pit.
Yeah. Yeah, I could.
3 hours?
Yeah, I think so.
You could, pull something early, too, right?
I'm actually doing it in my head right now. Yeah I think so. Okay. I mean, I think so. You just have to really torque your body, twist it. I mean, how? What? Two rotations is a corkscrew, or just one?
Just one, sure. But I'd look at some YouTube videos before you go out there. That's all you need to do.
Well, I'm confident because I watched a guy teach himself how to do a standing backflip in like 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was this guy involved in parkour?
No, but he was fit. Yes. I mean, and he was probably like 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All I need to do is spin around once.
Mm-hmm.
Off a diving board.
I don't think it's as easy as you're saying.
I can't come off a diving board?
Yeah, maybe off a diving board. It'd look pretty ugly, though, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess we'd call it a corkscrew. We'd have to go to the judges. It's like, was that a corkscrew? Like, I guess.
On a technicality, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But after 3 hours of trying nonstop, I could go.
Yeah. I'm sure those kids would be thrilled. Like, this guy just keeps... It's like in the kiddie pool or like something. The fun little diving area.
Get out of the way.
Can we talk about
this? Get hit by this.
Can we talk about this?
Cut you in two.
I don't know. To answer you, I don't think she can do a standing drop kick yet either.
Mm.
No. I bet you we'll get one kind of, okay, kind of spot from her, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
If we get one of those.
Mm. Now, this is not the hair versus mask match.
No.
So, kayfabe would tell you that they're definitely going to lose because Mariposa is an actual wrestler.
Right, right. Yeah. That's what I was a little worried about, Phoenix getting that boot in on Marty, but until they announced this match. I'm kind of like, boy, now the last guy to be standing tall before they meet together. This could not be good. This could be bad. But now that they've added this second thing, maybe they do get a little more. Gosh, I hope we don't get to see something extra gross and scary again, or maybe it could be good.
Like the fork and stuff.
Yeah,
and
all that stuff. It's possible. Oof. That's the kind of feud it's been.
Would Melissa bleed?
Oh my god! Could you imagine that beautiful face? That wouldn't be right.
It would be legendary moment.
Yeah,
it would be legendary.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
Oh my god, bro! He could have killed her.
Okay. Next match.
Who was that actually in reference to?
Katrina got hit by somebody. Next match. For a medallion. El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Pentagon Dark. Pentagon, hot start as always. Dragon Azteca selling like a champ early. Really nice sequence between the two. Went on for a while that finished with a Dragon Azteca Jr. corkscrew.
Yes, it was very nice.
Pentagon Dark so over in the temple. However, El Dragon Azteca Jr. getting some real cheers from the audience.
The Olay chant.
Yeah, that
was interesting. First time ever.
Yeah, and that stuck around. I don't know, but just the fact that Lucha doesn't rhyme with Olay.
Lucha.
If you made it Olay, Olay, Ola, then it's okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Anywho. Yeah, it was interesting that showed up like three times in this episode. I love Pentagon Dark's kicks. I don't know if I've said this before. I guess we call them leg strikes. The way he he'll go after a certain.
He always does that, like kick the back of the thigh.
Yeah.
Man, he kicked Dragon Azteca so hard he just like cartwheeled him into the air. It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I really think we're gonna hear that Olay chant now forever.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's gonna be a total thing.
Might be right.
I liked it. The wrestlers seemed to be really into it.
Mm-hmm.
It pumped them up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, did El Dragon Azteca Jr. He was really feeding off the crowd tonight. I thought. He had a nice Hurricane Rana out of the stands, or like some sort of weird little, it wasn't quite off of like the office or anything, just a little higher riser there. And then he hit a beautiful crossbody, and then a nice leg drop too, where he kind of holds his ankle before he hits it. That was pretty cool. Pentagon Dark hits a good his classic momentum killer.
I would love to know their shorthand for that in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that?
Mm-hmm.
When he goes up, one guy's trying to do the handstand off the ropes.
Or hamstring off the ropes, yeah.
Handspring, yeah.
Into a boot.
Yep.
Into a running kick. And it follows us up with a nice stomp for a near fall.
That stomp worries me because Pentagon doesn't seem like the type of guy. Like, there are some the high flyers that have a lot of body control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the type of move that if you don't adjust your body weight properly, like, you could kill someone. And I just don't get the sensation that Pentagon is like a finesse type of character.
Yeah, but that's a spot that you're not trying it if you don't know how to do it smoothly.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're You're popping elbows out and having to retire early.
Oof. It's nasty. It's nasty. Mm-hmm. Like, I would, if I had a choice between being chopped in the chest or being double stomped by Pentagon, I'd go with the
really?
Full chop.
Stop in the chest?
Oh, yeah, because that's not going to accidentally kill me.
Mm-hmm. Nice spears. Nice spears.
But if it was Ricochet or Finn Balor.
Yes.
And it was the same thing, I'd be like, double stomp me all day, baby.
Yeah.
I won't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it just, like, looks that good. Or, like, maybe, like as I said, I don't think he'd be, attempting anything that he wasn't completely comfortable with.
This is true.
Strike exchange leads to the nice spinning DDT by Dragon Azteca. He tries it again, but this time Pentagon Dark, and then they say, like, well, scouted, but he cuts it off with a backbreaker. I thought that was nice. It made sense. Really amazing balance spot up on the ropes from Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah.
That is countered quickly into a thing that was a package.
Small package, yeah.
Into his, like, package pile driver for the win.
I love that final sequence, actually.
Yeah,
because I talked about it when I did the podcast by myself, where there was a sequence between Pentagon and Mill, where it was, like, three or four moves in a row that set up a...
Mill or Puma?
Oh.
If it was Pentagon, is Pentagon Puma in the final, in the one you were by yourself? Anyway.
Well, then it was Mill, whoever Mill was
okay,
facing.
Okay.
Who was he facing?
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. But my point is that this whole sequence that led to that small package pile driver was equally as smooth and logical, and it was just like... Mm-hmm. You know, a counter that was then countered again, and then because getting somebody, I talk about it all the time, but moves where your opponent has to assist you are annoying to me.
Yes,
but this one happened, and getting your opponent into a small package pile driver from the top rope is like one of those things.
Sure.
But the way that they did this, they figured out a logical way to get him into the right position and then pull him off the ropes and then boom, it was
awesome.
Over.
Without too much delay, like everything was like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
nice finish. Really smooth finish.
Totally, totally.
This match was just a little too short for me. Like I thought they were really starting to cook. I mean, in terms of a sprint, I thought it was good, but I couldn't go above like a two and a half or two. And
I'm with you, man. I would love give me 5 minutes less of Ray and Matanza, and give me five more minutes of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
A few more false finishes.
Sure.
Yeah, it would be great.
So Pentagon Dark goes back in to break the arm. Enter Matanza for some reason.
Yeah.
Dario needs to stop him, and he does. He's successful, or stop him from going after Pentagon Dark, I guess, and then tells him to kill Dragon Azteca Jr. There's a really extended beatdown, and finally Ray enters. This is just again like some weird like. Some logic that if there is logic there, we don't understand.
We haven't been clued in.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Finally Ray enters and they go to a break and we turn right from where we left off. And Dario Cueto wants to start the match right now, so he says it, ring the bell.
Mm-hmm. And yet they didn't ring the bell.
Did they not?
No.
No,
there was
funny.
No sound effect.
So maybe this match never actually happened.
Oh! No, I have a feeling it's on there.
Ring the bell!
This was kind of a semi-spoiler I had heard about this match.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear, because you mentioned it as you were watching it. So, yeah, can you want to set this up?
I don't know if it was this match or another match, but no, I think this would be it, because it wouldn't have been in the Ultima Lucha Trace. I don't think Matanza's working again. He had apparently punched a glass or a window, and he didn't do a gimmick window, so it was just like really kind of scary sight, a lot of blood.
No way.
Ended up being okay, but it sounds like they had to cut the match short and come back and film the end of this.
No kidding.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this a while back, like when they were shooting this. I didn't see a window break in this, so I'm guessing they if this was the match in question, that they removed that spot entirely.
It would make sense, because if he just smashed it and it would be hard to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be hard to not sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Hard to cut around.
Yeah, yeah. Cut.
Terrible.
But right away, there's great heat in this match. Matanza smashes Ray's head into the stands.
Funny, man. I really felt like the first half of this, I was like, oh, I was sort of disinterested. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think...
It made sense, though. Like, I was like, yeah. I don't know. I still love Razor. I went 3 stars on this match. I thought everything made sense. Sure, I do think it was a little long, but, like, they move back in the ring, and Matanza is kicking his ass, and that really nice crucifix pin by Ray had that little extra bit of struggle.
That is where the match started doing it for me from that point onwards, for sure.
Yep.
It's just everything else that led up to it. I think it was sort of counting on me, because I've never seen Rey Mysterio wrestle outside of Lucha Underground.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a fact? No, you had to have seen at least one Rey Mysterio match in your life.
I saw one episode. I watched a random SmackDown episode once, and he was wrestling in that.
Okay.
But that was after I'd seen him wrestle in this.
Interesting.
And so I have no allegiance to him.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us all the time. But I don't know if that's why I'm not as invested in Rey Mysterio matches. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I think I'd rather be watching, like, Prince Puma wrestle.
Wow.
You know, in these spots and things. Well, I mean, they have them on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Whatever that sort of, like, the cachet that comes along with Rey, I don't sense it because I don't know it.
Hmm.
And so it takes me a long time to kind of get into Rey Mysterio matches. Don't get me wrong. I think Rey's psychology is so good.
Yeah.
Like, matches that he's in are always have got... I just feel the same way about every Rey Mysterio match. Mm-hmm. The first half, I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be latching into here. Mm. And then slowly it begins to sort of emerge, but... For me, they always start out super slow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought there was a really interesting atmosphere in this.
There was that lady screaming.
Yeah. But also, like when the beatdown was happening on Rey, and Matanza was really working his eyes a lot.
Yeah. I thought we might get a mask there.
I did want to mention, I love that skid spot that Rey does out of the...
That is nice.
Nobody else that I know of does that.
Yeah, and you know what? I should give Rey more credit than I'm giving him, because I really think his in-ring work is excellent. Mm-hmm. He does so much stuff that is so good, but compared to the other people that are in Lucha Underground, it unfortunately can be less spectacular than I think it actually is.
Sure.
He loves bouncing off those, like, that second rope.
Yeah.
Like, nobody I've never seen anybody do that before. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And it's just, like, part of his, like, you know.
Yeah. Another day of the office.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. So he had a really fiery hope spot that ended with him hitting the sunset flip. This was good that they kept giving him these hope spots in between this beatdown that led to this kind of shocked atmosphere and that one woman screaming again and again.
God.
Hitting the sunset flip power bomb. More classic Rey Mysterio, that babyface fire. Matanza with a big boot halts the comeback. Matanza misses with a chair shot. Rey hits a drop kick into it, and he somehow rigs up a chair between ropes, like, perfectly.
How did he do that?
Yeah, especially with, like, when they kind of had to bounce off of it. But he does, after a kind of falls back and forth, Matanza finally hits it, and then Rey hits a 619 into it. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Goes for the finisher, but Matanza throws the chair at him and hits him in the knee before he can even get
him.
And then we know that, now we're in trouble. Matanza's back in control, hits the Wrath of the Gods for the win, and also a nice touch of Dario removing Rey's leg from the ropes.
Yeah,
I said, yeah, great, believable stuff from, like, the David and Goliath. Nice logic. I went 3 stars on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, sure. I mean, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Post-match beatdown.
Yeah, this is where things... I at first suspected during this beatdown that they were pumping in booze.
Hmm.
But the longer it went on, the more I was like, no, this is not canned.
Mm-hmm.
These people are, like, not happy about this.
Yeah.
Weren't they chanting, "This is bullshit"?
Yeah. That's what I wrote down. The crowd is angry.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Rey is beloved. Beloved.
Hmm.
It puts Rey's head into the chair and then throws him into the post twice. That looked pretty lethal.
Yeah.
Dario Cueto with a nice smile on the outside. I thought this was good. And then, as you say, yeah, Matanza carries Ray down the hallway to end the episode. Yeah. Kind of ominous image.
He sits him down, takes the gauntlet, sticks it right on his head like a hat. Funk!
And then that becomes like a Voltron arm for Matanza, is just Rey Mysterio with the gauntlet on the
edge. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But a weird episode all in all.
I thought it was
still
good.
Had some good stuff. Still had lots of great stuff. Still, yeah. Hey, come on. I'll take a C minus Alt Lucha Underground over an A plus Nash Bridges any day of the week.
Absolutely.
It's my new go-to.
Yeah. I mean, this will be a great episode when you're, you know, somebody is tuning in, has discovered Lucha Underground on Netflix or in whatever streaming service 4 or 5 years from now. They're gearing up for the end of the series, because there's no series four, there's no season four. And they get to this, and there's lots of great stuff, and then they'll be excited to watch the next episode. Okay. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are in the home stretch. And what's going on next week? Why don't we... Now you can look these up. Well, we know...
Well, we know...
An announcer rises.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Is that what it is?
I think it's Rise of the Ring Announcer.
Rise of the Ring Announcer. While you're looking for that, I should mention, for those of you following my acting career, yes, I have booked another commercial.
Oh, great.
This one is for Market Masters Insurance or of some sort. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that, believers.
Great. It's great.
Just fill in time.
We have the Rise of the Ring Announcer. Marty the Moth teams with Mariposa to take on Phoenix and Melissa Santos. A 7-way Gift of the Gods title match. So we're doing the Gift of the Gods next episode.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's not going to be part of Ultimate Lucha Trace, which means that somebody will probably cash in for Ultimate Lucha Trace.
And that means we'll probably get a trios match.
Why?
Because Drago is in the... is in the Gift of the Gods, and he's a trios
champion.
And so he wouldn't, if he was going to be Gift of the Gods.
So we're going to have, yep. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
But there you go.
We shall see. Maybe the Rabbit Tribe. Maybe they'll finally get their get their gold. That'd be nice. Hey.
Oh, you think, I don't think anybody from Rabbit Tribe is winning this thing.
No. Pentagon. Rabbit Tribe winning the trios championship at all.
Yes. Yeah, I'd be down for that. Yeah. And with the help of Cotton-tailed, Masquerita Sagrada.
Perfect.
What other storylines do we? Okay, I'm gonna name. I will name a wrestler, a character, and you tell me what. Give me something that they can do in Ultima Lucha.
Gotcha.
Trace.
Shoot.
Okay. Tejano.
Never heard of him. No. Tejano. While he's still got the stuff with Famous B and Brenda, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is Brenda, and they both have broken arms now, right?
Oh yeah. And that was against because of Pentagon.
Yes.
So can you have Tejano versus Pentagon?
I don't think so. Not for Ultima Lucha Trace.
Well, Tejano's got to do something.
Tejano's got to do something. I bet you maybe they'll do some sort of scrambler type thing with all the like the Mac.
Yeah.
And Tejano and whoever else needs a dance partner.
Yeah. And are we still going to see Katrina versus Ivelisse?
I don't know. I was thinking that myself. We haven't seen it. Like, maybe we'll see something. I think next week we'll get our answer.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, a dagger with a sword?
That's right. I think that was just an out and out lie.
And the spiders. Or Nelson, not happening. God. Ricky Mundo's pictures.
Right.
Also not a thing.
All the red herrings, all the stuff that went nowhere. Those spiders, though. Come on, man. Somebody was hiding spiders, and you kept them hiding spiders for like 4 or 5 episodes.
All you have to do is reveal that it was Taya.
Yeah.
And now you have something that makes
some
sense.
I hope she will. I hope that it'll be revealed finally.
All you need is like a big... have Taya come up with a sack, and you're not sure what's in the sack. And you throw some like little motorized something in there, so it looks like they're all moving.
Yes.
And then at the end of the match, she dumps it, and it's just spiders.
Yeah.
I was having a shower the other day, and there was a spider in the shower with me. Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I tried to ignore it.
Yeah. Did you get really mad at the... Do you think Sexy Star would probably punch a hole in the tile?
That's right.
Right?
What have you done?
I hate spiders.
That's my sexy... That's my Sexy
home.
Star impression.
That's pretty good. It was dead on.
It was good for the first half. I hate... I don't know.
I hate... spiders.
Spiders. I'm terrible. Okay. Well, that's that. Anything else we're here to talk about?
No. Find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
At @Lucha_Aftergrund. Just search for Lucha Afterground. Go to placetobenation.com to find our show and many others, or follow us on iTunes or wherever else you find your podcast.
That's right. Only 5 episodes left.
Oh, man. And then Max and I will never speak.
That's right.
Pretty excited. My man Bobby C, I know he's excited.
For what?
For the Cleveland Indians hitting 20, oh, okay. 20
That's
wins in a row.
We're done. We'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?